Do you consider an artist like Talkshow Boy a pioneer?
Yeah, I do. I think Talkshow Boy is great. And I definitely stole some aspects of my performance from him.
Maybe more aesthetic aspects rather than actuals?
Well, I guess, yeah. Well, firstly, for me, the thing that struck me about him was the fact that he tours with nothing but an iPod, which was very kind of appealing to me, because there's nothing I hate more than carting gear everywhere. So, I started to use the whole iPod thing. I just make beats and put them on my iPod and play them through that, which makes everything a lot easier. But yeah, because he has a really energetic kind of fun live performance, and that's what I was trying to go for as well. So, and his songs are great and they're catchy, and he writes excellent songs. So yeah.
So he's definitely an inspiration. Well, you mentioned
yeah, that's right.
You mentioned the iPod, and you played a house show last Saturday where someone actually broke your iPod before the gig.
This is correct.
And you had to enlist Fru Fru Fox's drummer Duncan to round out the sound.
Yeah, lovely Duncan, because he actually on that song you just heard plays the drums.
Oh, nice.
On that song, and so he knew the drum beat and all that sort of thing, which was good. Yeah, my iPod broke, and the last couple of days I've been trying to fix it, which is an absolute bastard. But yeah, luckily there are no shows coming up because I don't have any drum beats for it.
True.
But it did kind of work having a live drummer, not really, but it's not something I want to do very often.
Well, with Duncan willing to lend his help, you know, for the live performance, because otherwise you were screwed.
Pretty much, yeah.
How do you find that in Brisbane? Do you normally get like a lot of friendly natured people that are willing to help?
Help me personally, or
just help in general? Like, have you noticed a culture of pleasantry?
Yeah, definitely. I think that everyone that I come across, well, for the most part, that I've played with or just met or spoken to after a show, is definitely very well natured, and everyone seems to be in it for the right reasons, in my opinion. I think more so when you're talking about all ages shows or house shows, particularly, people come for a specific reason, which generally isn't navigated towards the consumption of alcohol, which sometimes you get in venues and stuff. But yeah, I found that people are incredibly good-natured and supportive, and that definitely makes a lot more fun. And I probably wouldn't do it if it weren't for people who, you know, say nice things or yell out things, or you know, add lyrics that aren't meant to be there, that sort of thing.
We've all experienced that if you've been to a Brig Strong Brute show. That yeah,
that's what it's all about, pretty much.
So you're creating a culture, man. I mean, a community.
Well, there's nothing, there's no greater desire than to be surrounded by, you know, people who support you and who are feeling the same things as you are. So I think that if I can even in some tiny way, by playing to 10 people in a living room, you know, as long as you can get them to you know, sing out with you and I don't know, laugh and have a good time, that's pretty
so
much
it's all pretty good.
That's
yeah,
good enough for me, I reckon.
Well, you mentioned earlier about a disc that you didn't bring in, but you do have a new one coming out. Mm. How does that differ to Pulling Teeth?
Well, Pulling Teeth was basically just, it started out as an exercise in writing songs really, really, really quickly.
Yeah.
I was sat down with my friend Ollie, and he had all his recording equipment, and I said, I'll write a riff, and you write a drum beat, and I'll write a vocal line, and I'll write the riff and the vocal line in a couple of minutes, and we'll throw it all together, and we'll record it. And it took, each song took about, the ones that don't have live drums took about an hour to make. And so it was just basically something fun for me to do. I would write the guitar line or the keyboard line and then just sing a stupid vocal line that I'd made up just then over the top. And that's how it came about. And I thought, oh, well, what the hell? I'll burn some copies off and give them to people. And then the second one was took a bit longer. And I decided to put more effort into making drum beats and making songs and adding extra instrumentation and that sort of thing. But it's still as stupid as the first one, and still as ridiculously natured, and has... but this one explores, I guess, less gospel and more things like there's a lot to do with serial killers and the old blues idea of selling a soul to play the guitar and that sort of thing.
So a bit of John Wayne Gacy and Robert Johnson.
Yeah, Robert Johnson, I think definitely Sunhouse. But also there was a massive influence from Suicide on that CD, I think, and that probably comes through. Actually, the main reason I say it is because one time when I was doing the vocal track for one of the songs, I bent over on my stomach over a table.
Yeah.
And I had this crazy idea that if I did that, it would lessen the air that got into my lungs. It sounded like I was kind of straining or something.
So you sung that way.
Yeah, yeah. It was really uncomfortable, but that was the idea I was trying to go for. It was good fun, though. Ollie looked at me a bit odd when he was recording it, but it was good fun.
All for the music.